to demand. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Yeah. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you now, Lord, asking, Father, for you to guide us in the scriptures, to lay out before us the bread of life, we might partake of it tonight, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would anoint me, Lord, to where you could come and bring a message, Lord, that would be a help and strength to the people. We ask this, Lord, that your body would be benefited tonight by your word, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4. What I want to speak on tonight is the power of your confession. Power of your confession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You may be seated. Matthew 10:32, it says, whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father. In the book of Luke, it says, I'll confess him before the holy angels. Message of Believest Thou This, Brother Branham says, now I want you to do this. I want you to get just what I'm saying now. Then hold to it while I'm speaking. Will you do that? You'd never live any higher than you confess that you are. It's your confession that saves you. Now in Romans, it says just that. It says in verse 9 of the 10th chapter of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brother Branham, let me read this again, what he was saying. You'd never live any higher than you confess that you are. It's your confession that saves you. He that confesses me before men will I confess before my Father and holy angels. When you say you're sick, you're sick. I'm not preaching Christian Science now. I'm preaching the power of God, and the Holy Spirit bears record of it, see? But here's what it is. You accept him because you feel that he saved you, and you go telling people, testifying of it, and believing your testimony, and it works righteousness. It'll do the same thing for healing. We go around, you know, we go around confessing all the time, well, I'm sick with this, and I'm sick with that, and I'm sick with this. You're going to be sick with those things. I know that the devil likes to come and try to play tricks on our minds. He knows how our minds work. And I remember one time I was having a little trouble with my throat, first time that I was having trouble with it, having trouble swallowing and so on, and I was afraid to go to the doctor. I didn't know what it was. And then somebody was visiting, had come and stayed at the house. And they said, oh, yeah, I said, their brother had something in their throat, and it turned out to be cancer, and they died. And I thought, well, good Lord, I don't want to go find out that, you know. But finally I went to the doctor, and all it was just scar tissue from acid reflux. And they had to stretch my throat out a little bit. But Satan will try to play tricks on your mind like that to try to get you to think the worst of something. And the thing is, don't, it's like Brother Joel Forney, I've always heard him say, he said, when Satan comes delivering something, don't accept it. So I ain't accepting that package. Hebrews 3:1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, I like what we read about in the text, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because you hold fast to your profession, knowing that he's a high priest that knows what you feel and what you're going through, because he's been tested in every way known to man. And so there's nothing that you're going through that Jesus wouldn't understand. He's going to understand anything you're going through. And, you know, he understands pain. He understands when you don't feel well. He understands how your emotions can affect you. He understands these things. He knows these things. And so you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. You know, the Bible tells us, hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. Brother Branham says here, at thy word, Lord, he says, he cannot heal you or cannot save you or do one thing for you until first you accept it and believe it and confess it. That's right, you've got to confess it. Not you got to feel it, you got to confess it. He's not the high priest of your feelings. He's the high priest of your confession, what you confess. Now, you could come and sit in this service and the word going forth, and you feel the power of God there, then you see other people laying hold of that and people being healed. But if you go from that service saying, well, I really don't feel any different than I did, then you're not. That's what you're confessing. You won't feel any different. You won't be healed. But if you go from that service and say, well, I believe I'm healed, but then tomorrow you feel worse, so you get them and say, well, I guess maybe I'm not healed. Well, then you're not. He's not the high priest of how we feel. You know, there's times in our Christian walk that we don't feel very righteous. There's times we don't feel very Christ-like. There's times we would look at it and somebody would say, how do you feel today? Do you feel like a Christian? And there'd be days that you would say, no, I don't feel like a Christian today. But he's not the high priest of how we feel. He's the high priest of our confession. So we confess with our mouth. Amen. And believe with our heart. We confess, you know, whether you feel like it or not, you confess, I'm a Christian. Because there's power in what you confess. You know, it's the devil that tries to come at times and bring those feelings on you of where you feel like, well, man, I feel as far away from being a Christian as anything. And he brings up anytime you make a mistake, boy, he's right there to tell you, you made a mistake right there. Friends, realize that's not how the Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit doesn't work in a condemning sort of way. But the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. The Holy Spirit will point out our mistake, but not in a way to condemn us, but in a way to which we may grow and learn from it. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, was the inner teacher. The Ram said, let the saintliest person in this building right now make up your mind you're not a Christian anymore. And that's when you're not a Christian. You go out and somebody says, are you a Christian? You say, no, I used to be, but I ain't no more. Well, you've fallen from grace right then. It's faith. It's either faith or unbelief. You're possessed with two powers, either faith or unbelief. If you got faith, you're saved because you're a believer. If you haven't got faith, you're a sinner. First Timothy 6, 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Brother Branham says in the message of three witnesses, he says, may the dewdrops of mercy and healing powers of God drip upon each soul until faith goes and surpasses all doubts up into the realm beyond this. Now, listen to how he says this. God, wake us up from this sense-bound dream that we're in. May we go beyond this sphere up into the place where all things are possible, and there lay hold on eternal life and on divine healing. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. You confess that you have eternal life. It's something that you take. Amen. Lay hold on it. You possess it. I don't know about you. Y'all might be stronger than me. But I have times when the devil will come to me and tell me, you know you ain't going to make it. Maybe y'all know he never says that to y'all. You know you ain't going to make it. But you know what? The thing is, I'll turn around and ask him, how do you know? How do you know? You don't. He don't know. And the thing is, you know, recognizing when it's the enemy speaking to you. Sometimes he comes in a way to make you think it's your thoughts, that you're the one that's thinking it, when in fact he's injected that thought into your mind. And if you're not careful, you'll get to dwelling on that thought. And the more you dwell on it, the worse you feel. And if you're not careful, you'll dwell on that thought all day long. And be feeling just downright awful by the time night comes. But you realize that's him injecting that thought. It's not your thought. Amen. One time, Brother Dan Daisley, a testimony he was given, he said he was, you know, when he was an associate pastor, he used to do a lot of traveling and evangelizing in different places, different churches. He traveled a lot. And he said he was out on the road driving, he says, and the devil was just really bothering him that way. And telling him that he wasn't going to make it, and telling him that nobody loved him, and just, he said the devil was just really bothering him. He said finally he pulled over to the side of the road, got out, walked around, opened the passenger door, and said, devil, get out of here. Literally, he said, get out of here. You ain't riding with me no more. Some people will let the devil ride around with them. Her brother Donnie say one time, if you're going to let the devil ride around with you, you better tell him to buckle up, because it's a law in Tennessee. The message of my Redeemer liveth, Brother Bram says, I think of Job. Here he was at his wit's end, everything gone, seemingly. His body was gone. His property was gone. His children was gone. All he had was gone. And then God in his mercy come down to Job and give him another sense that he could open his eyes and see the day that there would be a body he would receive. He knew that there was one coming, a just one, who would stand in his place, who would raise up the body of the dead. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. He didn't say, well, I think now what I'm getting, if I'm understanding this right, I think that he may be alive. No, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Brother Ram says, I like those positive words. Not I hope so. I had a feeling there'll be. But that's about the attitude some of many today have, a hope. But Job had more than that. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, the positive side of it. No more on the negative. It's all positive. No more hope so, because something happened in our lives that took all the shadows away. There's one thing, you know, I think about that song, that old song, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. And in the verse it says, I was there when Jesus saved me. The very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens and gave me peace within. It says, Satan tries to make me doubt it, but it's real, and I'm going to shout it. Amen. Confess it. Knowing Satan can't tell me I'm not saved. And, you know, he'll try to come in the thought and tell you, well, you know, I'll tell you this, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. But, brother, the thing is, Satan has no idea whether you do or not. But I can take him to when I got it and say, oh boy, I know when I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Say, when? When things changed. So when I got the Holy Ghost, things changed. My way of thinking changed. My outlook changed. My desires changed. Something happened in our lives that took all the shadows away. When Christ, the resurrection one, came to our sinful conditions that we were in, the old things died out in the crucifixion with him at the altar, and we rose anew again with him and live with him and reign with him and are seated now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to take a little different look here at the power of your confession. This message, take the rod and gather the people. Brother Bram says, isn't it just like the church today? Come out of Egypt, come out of the world, out here in this glorious church of living God, the firstborn. And cause we have little trials, God asks us to believe and to hold on, and we still complain about it. There's too much grumbling about things, complaining, be satisfied, keep moving on, pressing on. Sometimes we're too quick to complain. But he never promised us a flowery bed of ease, Brother Branham said. There's times it's going to be hard. And you know what? When Brother Branham said, when you get the Holy Ghost, he said, that's when you actually got in the fight. He said, that's when you actually start going upstream. Before that, said, you were just floating along with everything else. But then when you're going upstream, there's a resistance to that. It's a lot easier to paddle going downstream. But when you're going, you know, if I think about the days where, the Native Americans that lived around those different waterways and rivers and so on and that, if they only went down the river, they'd never get back home. You really don't need much of a paddle to go down the river. Just kind of steer yourself a little bit. But going up, it takes some effort. It's not easy. Our route is not easy. And that's because we're going against everything of this world. We're going against every prince and power of the air, the rulers of darkness in high places. We've got spirits and things on every hand. But know this, that the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hearing water from the rock, he said, I tell you, brother, as long as people argue and complain and grumble about their church, you're still carnal, walking with carnal minds, like little old kids. Why don't you grow up and be a man once in a while? Look at the overall picture. I like that. Look at the overall picture. Realize, you know, sometimes we get so focused on self that all we see is what's happening to us and what's going on around us, and realize we're not the center of the universe. We're not, little old me, I'm not the center of God's attention. I'm a center of his attention as far as a member of the body of the bride. But just as an individual, God has children all over the world. And the thing is to realize he's able to answer all them prayers simultaneously. But realize, even looking at the church, why, there's a big picture of the whole thing. What's God trying to do? Sometimes we get focused on little things in our life, that little things that upset us. And we get upset about things, and we miss the picture that it's Satan just trying to distract us from what God is doing, and that's getting us ready to go in a rapture. And he ain't just getting you ready. He's getting everybody else around you ready. He's getting the whole church ready. We might not be very many, but I believe when we get to the other side, we're going to be together. So we might as well get used to one another here. Brother Bram was talking here about, I guess, a time during World War II. And he said, having rough times, he said, you couldn't have sugar in the coffee. And well, we'd complain about that. We had to boil the coffee the second time, and we'd complain about that. Sometimes I wonder if we don't do a little bit too much complaining when we think of having to boil coffee twice and complaining about it, and men dying on the field, young American blood being shed on the field, the blood of the nations poured out, and then we complain about some little sacrifice that we have to make. I hope this doesn't seem wrong, but we seem to be more or less an ungrateful people for the things we have. We don't put the valuation on the things that we do have. Oneness and unity, Brother Branham says. Confess your sin right now. Say, well, I'm a Christian. Tell Christ that you'll never disbelieve him again. Right now, you're accepting him. Right now, it's going to be over. You're never going to complain about it anymore. No matter what it looks like, what it feels like, you're going to believe it because you come out of Babylon's tower. You've come out of the valley where the lily of the valley is at. You've come to the mountainside where the grace of God is flowing freely from the fountain of life. Mark 11:23 said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That shows you there's power in what you confess. If you confess you're going to receive it, there's power in that. God's promised it. And when he's promised it, we don't have to say no more about it. If he's promised it, then he's going to bring it to pass. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad, he would try to give me things that he didn't have when he was growing up. He grew up real poor. And I wasn't growing up a whole lot better, but a little better than what he grew up. He grew up real poor and didn't have much. But when I would ask him for something I saw, you know, some toy or something like that when I was young. And there'd be times Dad would, you know, tell me, no, he'd say just like, yeah, that's a piece of junk. We ain't gonna waste our money on that. Then there was other times he'd tell me, he'd say, yeah, I'll get that for you. As soon as I can, I'll get it for you. And that was it. I never asked him another thing about it. No matter how much time passed, I never come back around and said, hey, Dad, you said you was going to get me such and such. No, I never said no more about it. Because I knew if my dad told me he was going to get it, then he'd get it. I didn't have to think no more about it. And you can ask my mom. That's just how I was about believing my dad. Well, that's how we ought to be about believing our Heavenly Father, because the Bible says if our earthly father know how to give us good gifts, how much more should our Heavenly Father know how to give us? And whatever promises that he's promised us in the Word, they're going to come to pass. If he said it, as the song said, I believe it. Amen. That should settle it. We ought to make preparations when we come to church. You know, take time out. I know, especially on Wednesday or Thursday nights, I know people are working. You get home, you got a little bit of time for supper. You try to get supper eaten and then get ready to come into church, and you get in here and it's kind of a I know the way it is around our house, everything's got to be kind of on a time schedule to get us here. But you ought to take a little time out to just pray for the service. It don't have to be a long prayer, but a little prayer is better than no prayer. And pray for the service and pray for yourself. Lord, you know the things I need. You know what I need to receive, Lord. I ask that you'll anoint the preacher to go down the areas of what I need. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, talking about the service that they were having, he said they were having such a good service because people was praying and fasting and getting ready to receive something from God. And that's why the Holy Spirit was moving so freely in their midst. Amen. I was reading a book one time. This might sound funny to you, but it was a book wrote by Adolf Hitler. And there was a chapter in there. And the chapter's entitled The Power of the Spoken Word. And I thought that was really strange, you know, to find that in that book. And he talked about the power that was behind what you say. What you say and what you can get the people to believe. There's a power behind that. It moves. And there's a power behind what we speak. There is a power behind the spoken word. We've got not just a word spoken by man, but we've got thus saith the Lord. And there's power in that. Whatever we need, we can speak it and we'll receive it. That's exactly what the word says. believe with your heart. Whatsoever you desire, you shall have it. Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it. The message of take the rod and gather the people. Brother Bram says, when the water supply, talking about Israel now, when the water supply got cut off, God asked them to speak to the rock, and it would bring forth waters. Now tonight, the only thing you have to do is speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth his water. If you're on speaking terms with him tonight, how many's on speaking terms with the rock tonight? Let's see your hands. Now I want you to speak to him about your condition. When we have a sickness, go to the Lord about it. I'm as guilty as anybody else of times when I should right away go to the Lord, and that'd be the first thing I do. Sometimes it's about the last thing I do. Last thing you think of. First thing, you know, many times we think of is go to the doctor, and there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But we can ask, you know what? They can, you know what? You can go to the doctor and them give you an antibiotic, and the antibiotic has to do absolutely nothing because your body would reject it. I've had it happen to me before. But God can make, if you went to the doctor, God can make the medicine work. Amen? Our body is made to heal itself. We're just in a weakened condition. That's why it doesn't do it so well. Amen. But we want to realize that there's a power in what we say. There's a power in how we confess to be a Christian, how we confess our healing. You know, don't confess your feelings. Confess the word. Confess what you know, take it by faith. Amen. Lay hold of it by faith. Leaving it. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. I've got more to preach on this, but I didn't have. I got to do some more studying, and I thought this would take a little bit more tonight, but this is one of those short, quick ones. Hit you and go on, and so, amen. Lord, may the Lord bless you. Amen.
Sing How Great Is Our God.